This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We're going to spend a little time with Brad Young, our 97.1 FM Talk legal analyst. He's partnered with Harris Dow Fisher and Young. I asked you this off the air, and you know why I'm asking you this now, but you are not going to the Mizzou game tomorrow, correct, Brad?
Well, at this point, I'm not. My daughter is because she has a student pass, but I wasn't so lucky.
So I won't mention names. Steve Butts just invited me to go up in an air-conditioned suite, and it's the latter part of that invite that intrigues me for tomorrow. Even though, Sue, I proclaimed, it's not going to be that hot, right?
Uh-huh.
But sitting out there for 3 hours in a football game, 4 hours, but I might have to take him up on that invite, even though it's not, you know, the best matchup. Just getting to the Zoo would be fun, Brad. You didn't go last weekend, did you?
No, I didn't, but you should go, my friend. And if you don't go, tell Steve, I'm sorry, the unnamed person, that I will absolutely go.
I think I just got the green light from my wife, which is a good thing. Yeah, I'm trying to get up there next weekend. You know, next weekend's the South Carolina game. But you, as you know, these tickets are a lot harder to come by these days. And, you know, depending on what happens in the next 2 weeks, they win the next 2 weeks, then they become impossible to get because if you're off to, well, that would be a 4-0 start. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that would be significant beating South Carolina. You know, you might, I guess they're ranked in the AP number 25. South Carolina's, I think, 11th, something around there. So it could
be
good.
They're between 10 and 15. So, yeah, if Mizzou wins this game tomorrow, they're obviously going to be going up in the polls.
Well, where do we start here with this Charlie Kirk stuff, Brad? Because this all happened just a couple of hours before my show on Wednesday, and I'm guessing you might have done and made the same mistake that I and many people listening didn't watch the video of what happened. And unfortunately, I did watch several angles. But obviously, there are a lot of repercussions. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of hate out there on the interwebs right now. I will say this. You know, I'm shocked the NFL has taken some time out to acknowledge the death. The Yankees did it at Yankee Stadium, and they had a moment of silence. So I don't know what the weekend portends, but you got the other side sounding like this right now.
I have about as much sympathy for Charlie Kirk right now as they do for all those farmers across the country who want socialist handouts from the government right now. This is a man who hated the LGBTQ community, who hated women's rights, who hated democracy.
It's a bunch of nonsense, but they keep spreading it.
Prayers and thoughts for Charlie Kirk. No, I have no prayers and thoughts for him left from all my prayers and thoughts for these innocent children who did nothing wrong. We're not sending out divisive, hateful messages. We're not saying that empathy is a problem with America.
So she is a professor, maybe a former professor right now in Denver, Colorado. Jimmy Kimmel said this last night.
Still trying to wrap our heads around
the senseless murder of the popular podcaster and conservative activist Charlie Kirk yesterday, whose death has amplified our anger, our differences. And I've seen a lot of extraordinarily vile responses to this from both sides of the political spectrum. Some people are cheering this, which is something I won't ever understand. We had another school shooting yesterday in Colorado, the 100th one of the year. And with all these terrible things happening, you would think that our president will at least make an attempt to bring us together. But he didn't. President Obama did. President Biden did. Presidents Bush and Clinton did. President Trump did not. Instead, he blamed Democrats for their rhetoric.
So let's acknowledge a couple things here. First of all, I 100% guarantee without hesitation that Jimmy Kimmel was cheering this on. I guarantee it. He might not have done it on his show. He might not have done it publicly. But I promise you he was cheering it on. Now let's address the latter part of those comments. When we go back to, and a lot of people hated George W. Bush, not as much as this guy, but when we go back to a previous period when some of these things happened, including 25 years ago, you know, or 24 years ago, yesterday, 9/11, was the other side calling our side of the spectrum Nazis, a threat to democracy, dangerous? All this rhetoric that's been tossed out there for the past couple of years that led to two assassination attempts on a president, that led to a near assassination of a Supreme Court justice in Brett Kavanaugh. So I don't, this whole bringing people together when they are saying what they've said for years now about this administration, about people who happen to believe differently than them, I've got nothing for them. That's too bad, Jimmy Kimmel, because I don't think bringing people together when the other side feels that way is appropriate right now.
Well, it's not just a lot of these activists, Mark. I mean, consider this. In July of 2024, Joe Biden said it's time to put a bullseye on Trump.
Yeah.
And then not too long after that, he was shot an attempted assassination. But even the president at the time said it's time to put a bullseye on Donald Trump. Well, I don't think Jimmy Kimmel was coming out publicly and admonishing Joe Biden for saying that.
That's why this is so important. I said this on the roundtable. This is not the fringe is saying what the fringe is going to say. And there's crazy stuff. And what I played the audio of, that's the fringe. But the people that were in power, the president, the vice president, you know, Gavin Newsom, Hakeem Jeffries, who could be the Speaker of the House, they all have said the same things, and they continue to say the same things about a threat to democracy. So, you know, you wonder why someone can get radicalized like this so quickly when I still see people out there, you know, they always have to say, well, I don't cheer on anyone's death, but, you know, Charlie Kirk was full of hate. These are people who have no idea what he was about. They probably never even watched anything that he was doing when he was debating people on these campuses. They just are believing what they hear on TikTok and their other social media sources, and they're so beholden to the Alphabet Mafia that, of course, anyone like Charlie Kirk, especially if you believe in God, you hate all gay people.
Yeah, it's reprehensible. And I'm sitting here thinking about all of the rhetoric we've heard, not only, as you've already pointed out, Mark, all of the claims of being Nazis and fascists and all that rhetoric, which is ridiculous. But also don't forget the Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, back in 2020, said that the Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh would, quote, pay a price, unquote, for their decision. So this rhetoric isn't new,
no.
But I think what we're seeing that is new is that people are literally dying from some of this rhetoric. And I just wish that the media elites and the politicians could be rather accurate when they try to claim that it's always on the right. It's not.
Okay, so this is and I address this angle on the roundtable as well. But this is interesting because now there's a New York Times piece that just went up a short time ago, and here's the headline. I want your opinion on this. Right wing activists urge followers to expose those celebrating Kirk killing. The widespread and fast moving campaign has already resulted in lost jobs, suspensions, and internal investigations, heightening tensions online between supporters and detractors of Charlie Kirk. Here's what I said, and I said this on the X, formerly Twitter, earlier, because I do have some issue with the cancel culture aspect of this, all right? But it's nuanced, and this is how it's nuanced. If you want to go out there and say hateful things and you're a, you know, someone who works at Starbucks or whatever, if the average nose ring wearing face tattooed lefty lunatic, especially in the Alphabet Mafia, wants to dance on his grave, go for it. But you're damn right I support cancel culture for teachers, professors, state representatives, elected officials in municipalities, medical professionals, members of the military, members of the Secret Service have been exposed with vile, hateful things. So do I want to cancel those people? Absolutely I do. The average person, I don't think it's fair. But if you look at the websites that the New York Times is writing about, and wokeness and libs of TikTok, they are specifically going after people in the positions that I just mentioned. Not your average radical lunatic. So I think there's a big difference. But now this is what the media wants to focus on. Now they want to focus on this.
Yeah, I didn't hear any howls of complaints from the New York Times when J.K. Rowling was being canceled because of her positions, or how about Gina Carano, who was part of the Star Wars universe? She got canceled. I mean, we can go through person after person after person.
Well, J.K. Rowling, by the way, if you look out there, there's people that are creating lists of who should be next, and J.K. Rowling's at the top of their list.
Yes, that's right. So to me, again, it's disingenuous for the New York Times to list all of these cancel culture things from people on the left who are being canceled. When, of course, when it happens that in areas that agree with the philosophical bent of the New York Times, all you hear from them are crickets.
You have Michael Mann, who's a climate nutjob out there at the University of Pennsylvania. He reposts a message referring to Kirk as the head of Trump's Hitler Youth. And Dave McCormick, who's the senator, along with John Fetterman, called it repulsive and asked the university to take immediate decisive action. What I can tell you is, based on this reporting in the New York Times and elsewhere, there are a lot of colleges and there are a lot of companies that are taking a look at some of these posts, and they are taking action in some cases.
Well, and that's true. And as I'm looking about this situation in particular with regard to Mr. Robinson, I forgot what's his first name. I'm drawing a blank here. But the guy who was arrested for shooting Charlie Kirk, for him,
well, I'm not using
multiple
his name.
Stories.
I'm not
using. So yeah, good.
So I haven't mentioned his name one time today. So I don't really care. Yeah,
but I don't have his name in front of me here. But that's good. But anyway, the point being is this: if you read and dive into some of these stories, it states that he became radicalized over the past few years when in college. And I know from personal experience that when we send our kids to these so-called universities that are really just basically progressive or socialist indoctrination centers, these kinds of things happen. And I wish we could address that in terms of what's happening to our kids when we send them to college.
Well, I would agree with you. And, I've talked about this and I've referred to this several times, even though I was never able to play the audio. And I can't remember if I shared the audio with you of the journalism class at Mizzou the day after the election. Did I ever share that with you?
You did.
Yeah, okay.
You did. You
so
shared that with me. Yeah.
There was a listener who shared this with me last December. It was from the day after the election. It was in a documentary film class at Mizzou. And the listener said, Mark, you got to hear this. This professor goes off. And I mean, in the first 30 seconds, he's like, capitalism is idiocy. And he goes on and on and on. Well, I get this audio. The dad who shared it with the person who shared it with me got freaked out and did not want me to use it on the air, so I didn't. I kept my word. I did play one part of it that was a story that a student told. But what I did then is I shared that audio with the dean of journalism at the University of Missouri and with Governor Kehoe. And when the dean, and David Kirpius is his name, and we became friendly, and we've exchanged messages since, but he got very stern with me because when I was pointing this out about what the professor was doing, it was vile. There were F-bombs, all these things. It was very anti-Trump. It was anti-American. He said very sternly, well, that's been dealt with and that won't happen again. I didn't say this, but what I wanted to say to Dave Kirpius was, I don't believe that. And here's what I know to be true, that's not the first time that professor has done that, right? So the people that are being exposed online right now, they're just the dumb ones that are saying it out loud. I guarantee you that this is running so pervasive in academia in particular, because we've seen it time and time again. And it's hilarious to me that the New York Times, they've never done a story about radical left-wing lunatic professors who are pulling things from the alphabet mafia, Bible to preach to their kids and the anti-Trump stuff in classes that have nothing to do with the topic or the course material at hand, that they want to do a story about right-wing activists urging people that are celebrating the death of this guy who was assassinated with a bullet to his neck with blood pouring out of it. They want to make a story of that? Mm. This is where the mainstream media is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. In this story in the Times, Brad, sorry, but I'm so pissed off about this. They got a guy from, Notre Dame that says, well, we've never, I've not seen something like this on social media in America really ever. It's a unique moment. Well, maybe it's a unique moment because so many left-wing people are celebrating this guy's death. And they're not being shy about it.
Right, yeah. Libs of TikTok is one of my favorites on TikTok because it really exposes not just radical, but radical lunatic fringe out there that unfortunately on college campuses is not really all that fringe anymore.
Well, it's not, unfortunately. Let's talk about a couple other things, though, that are in the news right now. Let me take you back to, and I feel kind of bad that we didn't talk much about this, Irina Zarudska, the young woman who was on the train. I mean, that story seems like it's way in the distant past, and it was just Tuesday we were still talking about it. It's another video, Brad, that unfortunately I watched, and you see this guy who's behind her in a hoodie. You can see him actually going onto this light rail car. She is just getting off work. She's on the train. She's kind of curled up looking at her phone, and he, you know, just stands up, takes a knife, slices her neck open. She doesn't even know what happened. I think that she's in shock. The people next to her don't really react. I'm still not sure what to make of that. A horrifying crime. But you know what was the news out of that was, you know, the crime wasn't the news, right? That the New York Times, right. The Washington Post, they didn't want to do that story. But what they wanted to do was they wanted to cover how the story was being covered by right-wing media and how some people in this country happened to be horrified by the fact that a young blonde girl who actually escaped the perils of Vladimir Putin because she lived in Ukraine and was here the last 2 years couldn't make it out of the United States because of a thug who sliced her throat on a train.
Yeah, how about just covering the fact that the crime was committed? No. The New York Times had to use it as an opportunity to bash conservatives in this country. And that's why basically reading the New York Times is not all that far from reading the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, well, exactly. John Deal is the former House Speaker of Missouri, and he was indicted yesterday. We talked about this on the roundtable, so let me get your opinion on this, because here's a guy who has been very successful. He's a pretty popular speaker. He kind of left the legislature in a cloud of uncertainty after a scandal with some notes to an intern. But then Hal Goldsmith, who's a guy at the U.S. Attorney's Office who focuses on, you know, public corruption. Brad, I heard about this a couple of days ago, and I was, you know, tipped that something was going to happen yesterday, and I started going out and trying to find out, you know, who is being indicted. Well, John Deal, who has not been in the public eye for a long time, gets accused of stealing money on a COVID loan. There's about $400,000 involved. So he pleads guilty to all of this. They spell it out in the indictment. He admits to it, but the sentiment on the roundtable by Jeff Smith, who was a, you know, a felon and served time in prison in a political scandal, Jane felt the same way, that there's going to be more to this, that Hal Goldsmith, Brad, a guy who looks at public corruption, isn't going after this guy because why would he even be on his radar? He's not in public life. But the John Deal may present someone a bigger fish, and that story might not be over at this point.
Exactly. You're 100% correct on that, Mark. And here's how we're going to know. Here's exactly how we're going to know. Whenever John Deal is sentenced, and by the way, in full disclosure, John Deal was a classmate of mine at St. Louis University Law School. In my class, I knew him in law school. Haven't talked to him in a while, obviously, but I needed to get that out there. But when we see him sentenced, which I think the sentencing is going to be in November or December.
I think it's December.
Whenever he gets sentenced, if his sentence is at the low end of the sentencing guidelines, you're going to know for 100% certainty that he is going to be turning state's evidence on this case.
Right.
Because otherwise, because of the sheer amount of the money that he stole in COVID money, he would be sentenced at, so should be in the mid to high range on this. But if he gets at the low range or even below the low range, then you know there's a deal in the works.
Well, and apparently, and I didn't know this, James is the one who told me this on the roundtable, I guess he's paid the money back. So a lot of times, you know, you have fines that are associated with this and you have, you know, restitution. But I guess, you know, he's got money. Why he was doing this, it seems like he had a cash flow problem because he was paying off country club memberships and car payments and, you know, student tuition and all these things. I mean, he could have wore a wire on someone, and there could be somebody else out there that gets brought down. So that's going to be very fascinating, I think, to watch in the future. It kind of caught people off guard. I was surprised, Brad. Usually when I poke around on some sources, they know who's involved, and this one was kept really, really tight-lipped, really tight-lipped.
It really was. And that, again, goes to show that if Hal Goldsmith here was trying to make a public spectacle of it, then this would have been broadcast ahead of time. But the fact that it was all done secretly and then it was a package deal, that completely gives away the plan that there's bigger fish to fry here.
Let me ask one question here. Brad Young is with us tonight on the economy and see what you would say about this. So I have my dear friend in Las Vegas, Rick, who I visit, and you know, it's kind of my second home out there. And I'll admit, because Sue will call me out on this if I don't admit, if you go back to March when the stock market was kind of, you know, tanking because of the tariff talk and we're looking at our 401ks, I was a bit of a panicking, right, Sue? You know. I was. But, and this is a true story, I told Rick, I said, look, I'm going to put this date, this was March 12th. So on March 12th, I set a little reminder for myself. I said, let's look at the stock market and where the economy is on September 12th. That's today. So the Dow on March 12th was at 41,350. Now, I didn't look at the close today. It was down a little bit today, but I think it was close to 46,000. 45,834 was the close. So all the losses have come back that were gone. And there are some questions about how strong the economy is. We don't know what the numbers for the third and fourth quarter are. And we also know that the Bureau of Labor Statistics really screwed up on some job figures. But don't you remember all of the doom and gloom? And there were people, and I pulled up stories even today from JP Morgan Chase and others saying, we're going into a recession this year and Trump's to blame because of the tariffs. Well, that's not happening.
Well, that's true. It's not happening. And I was also one of them. I'm going to freely admit that. I brag about when I call it right. I don't mind confessing when I call it wrong. I've always been a no tariff guy, free trader. And so when I looked at this, I too thought it would be disastrous for the economy. And that turned out not to be the case. And if you look at some of the economic trends that we're in right now, Mark, they're looking pretty well. I mean, yesterday in of itself, the stock market goes up 600 points. We're looking for a Fed cut on their interest rates.
Next week, probably, before, right?
But next week.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're going to see more investment in the economy. And the dollar is trending downward. But economically, that's a good thing. Because as the dollar goes down, it makes it more attractive to buy American goods compared to the price of foreign goods. So those are all good things. But here's really, I know we're short on time, but here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at how is the Supreme Court going to impact Trump's ability to collect tariffs? Because right now, as of today, the United States government has collected just shy of $200 billion, with a B, dollars in tariff money. If that goes to offset and reduce our national debt, President Trump will be the first president in history to ever actually reduce the national debt. And I'm really, really going to be watching the Supreme Court now.
Brad? Enjoy your weekend, M-I-Z, and we'll talk next week probably.
All right, Z-O-U, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm just going to say this. Spoiler alert. Ready? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do some Charlie Sheen stuff here. And if you don't, but I'm just going to hit on some of the highlights. For example, and we talked about this with Paul Hall in the last hour. This is a documentary that's up there on Max, right? I think that's where it is. Will you double check that for me,
Sue? I think that's right. Okay. Charlie Sheen doc.
I think it's Max and not Netflix. Oh, my God. I almost pressed go the other night, but this is another one of those where I kind of want to, you know, sit in my cave and focus. Sheen's drug abuse got so bad that he had an 18-hour nosebleed and once needed to stick a cube of ice rather, up his butt to shoot a scene.
Oh my gosh. How about that? Netflix.
Okay, it's Netflix, so I was wrong. Sheen recalls an 18-hour nosebleed from cocaine that caused a problem when shooting a scene. I got the director, Brett Ratner, to agree to make that shot go away forever, and he did because we've never seen it, right? And that's when it starts to get that priorities couldn't be more wonky. I was taking jobs just to fuel the habits. He says, for the film Free Money, Sheen said the director noticed that he looked like he was falling asleep on camera. So Sheen asked for a glass of ice. There was a little bathroom. I went in there. I took an ice cube. I shoved it up my butt. Never done that before, and man, I was wide awake, just enough to get back on the mark and finish the bucket scene with an ice cube in my ass. I don't know. There's something about that quote that is really special to me. Sheen says that he has always been upfront about his HIV status with partners and that he paid those partners to keep his diagnosis secret. He says, I was wearing condoms and I was by then completely undetectable. They'd be going into the drawers in my bathroom, photographing my meds. Then I'd stop seeing them and that's when it would come out. The threat of we're going to expose your thing, I had to pay them. And I guess he paid, he says that the lowest number was $500,000 for a single person. That's the lowest number.
Jeez.
He says, but you know what? Within all the craziness, there's only one person in the entire blanking mix that still has this thing that has it, period. And that's this guy. He's talking about himself. Nobody got this from me, period. End, full stop. Nobody did so. So that's on HIV. A drunk Charlie Sheen once took the controls of a jetliner unbeknownst to the 300 or so passengers. The doc apparently opens with a tale as he recounts being on the honeymoon with Donna Peel. That was his first wife. They're on a plane. Tensions were high between the two already, just after being married. He starts drinking in his seat. The plane navigator spots Sheen, invites him to the cockpit. You know, he's a celebrity. The captain asks for a photo. Sheen asks the pilot if he can wear his uniform and sit in his seat. The pilot obliges. The co-pilot flips off the autopilot function. Sheen, completely wasted, is now flying the plane. He says, I'm there, drunk, close to 300 people asleep behind me, an angry bride 20 feet behind me, and I start guiding this plane. And then they saw that maybe this might get away from them. The co-pilot quickly turned the autopilot back on. I'm watching that damn documentary this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's been a busy news week, and I meant to talk about a couple of things earlier this week, and obviously the Charlie Kirk story took me away from those, but they're education-related. And Gene Evans, who is certainly an expert on that topic, was with us a couple hours ago on the roundtable, and I asked her to stay a little extra here today to talk a little education and maybe reflect on a couple other things as well. Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Always good to talk to you.
So, obviously, you know, we talked about some of this certainly related to Charlie Kirk on the roundtable. But I have to, since I have you here still, in case people miss this part, I want you to explain this text message from a Missouri House Democrat by the name of Jeremy Dean. We talked about this a little bit on the roundtable. This is rather shocking, I would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even repeat what he said in this text, but there is a state representative who has advocated for women to be able to be allowed to be divorced while they're pregnant, which is against the law currently in the Missouri.
And you know, I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't know either until this came up. But she's a survivor of abuse and was abused while she was pregnant and barely escaped with her life from this marriage. But she has spoken openly on the House floor and in interviews about the abuse she endured. So there's no secret about what she has gone through. And this this other state representative sent her a very crude, disgusting text with reference to body parts of Donald Trump.
Well, I'll paraphrase. I'll do as best I can. It says, I'm surprised you guys can even talk with Trump's blank shoved that far down all your throats. Make sure it's not blurry. So clearly not dancing around the edges there at all, making it pretty clear. She screen captured that. Have there been any repercussions at all?
I don't know. You know, there is an ethics committee in the House, and when they investigate someone, it's not public information unless there are findings that become public later. So I don't know. I don't know if his caucus is going to handle this. The Democrat caucus is led by women in Missouri. I know these women. I would assume, knowing them, that they're not pleased with this. And I think in light of what has happened this week, you know, we all need to turn the temperature down.
Yeah.
But this is disgusting. These are colleagues. And I can tell you, having been a House member, there's a lot of mutual respect and collegiality, even when you disagree. So this is a personal, grotesque attack on a woman who's been very vulnerable with her colleagues.
Yeah, that makes it even worse. But, you know, going back to some of the conversations we had just about the reaction to Charlie Kirk's death, it is stunning to me how people feel as brave as they do. Brave probably isn't even the right word. As stupid as they are to let some of this out on social media, whether it's TikTok or Facebook or Twitter, with, you know, stomping on his grave, obviously. And what I said during the roundtable is, look, it's one thing if you're the average nose ring wearing pink-haired member of the Alphabet Mafia tattooed all over your face doing that, but it's different when you're a civil servant or if you're in the medical profession or you're a teacher. And the overwhelming amount of the, you know, wish death upon him type of texts and messages have come from those groups of people, which is shocking to me.
I've seen so much on the internet that was from healthcare workers and teachers dancing on Charlie Kirk's grave, and I can't believe anybody would feel that way, but these are people who are supposed to be caretakers.
Well, and these are the people that are saying it out loud. Think about the people
that
aren't saying it out loud.
Fair.
That's what concerns me. All right, so let's segue from that into, you know, concerns that certainly I have about education. I've always, you know, been concerned over the years when I was in Milwaukee. You know this, Gene, I spent some time up there. School Choice was really starting to get going, and they had a really good program there in Milwaukee. I remember talking to a guy by the name of Michael Holt. He became a friend of mine. I did a TV show with him up there as well, and Michael was a School Choice advocate. And, you know, the one thing in the story that always stood out to me, and I think this applies to some of the things that came out in the news today, or this week, rather, because you have a few different things. School enrollment is way down in Chicago, you know, L.A., probably here as well. You have 12th grade math and reading scores in the U.S. are at an all-time low. So kids are already behind. Now they're more behind. But Michael said to me one time, and I don't know how we get out of this, because I think it's even worse here in St. Louis with the tornado, that maybe some of this has changed. But, you know, in the past, in an urban area, you might have a kid walking down the street with a backpack on, you know, ready to go to school or come back from school. That in some African-American communities, that's a stigma, because there is not an aspiration to go to school in many of these cases. The parents sometimes don't care. And that's such a different, you know, lens with which to look at this education issue. I feel terrible because, look, let's face it, I grew up here in the Parkway District, spoiled. My daughter's in Rockwood right now. She's got a good school district. These kids are being robbed of their future. And, you know, Democrats in St. Louis, in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., they're not doing anyone any favors right now.
No, I don't know about that stigma. I do know from visiting with parents who live in some of these failing districts like St. Louis City that they want better options for their children. You know, not every parent is a perfect parent, whether you're in the city or in the county.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's tough.
But we have to provide that option. And, you know, we keep hearing they need more money, but the teachers union's got $190 billion in federal funds in addition to regular education funding to help make up for COVID loss learning loss. And it hasn't helped.
Spent, right?
But I think the what is really striking about this is the have-nots are doing worse than ever. So kids who live in sort of the wealthier areas are doing about the same, but the kids in the areas like St. Louis City and Chicago, like you were talking about, are doing worse than ever.
Yeah.
And it seems like the establishment has given up on them and they just want to please the teachers' unions. They are not really that concerned about these kids. They are forgotten. And we hear all this from the left about we need free college. I'm like, we need kids to learn how to read and write and feel safe at school. And we don't have that.
So in these numbers here, and you know, look, the different numbers might produce, or different tests might produce different results. But here's what we have. 12th grade's average math score is the worst since the current test began in 2005. Reading was below any point since the assessment started in 1992. The share of 12th graders who were proficient slid by 2 points between 2019 and 2024 to 35% in reading, 22% in math. And then they say there were drops in the proportion of students who were able to reach at least a basic level of performance. But this kind of stood out. There was a quote in the Wall Street Journal by someone named Leslie Muldoon. He's the executive director of the board that oversees these tests. And she says students are taking their next steps in life with fewer skills, less knowledge in core academics than their predecessors a decade ago. And it's happening. And this is important, right? It's happening at a time when rapid advancements in technology and society demand more of future workers and citizens, not less. So the repercussions of this, and that's what I think people don't really think about in the long term. And that's why, by the way, we all should care about
right.
what's happening in education in urban areas, because it does affect all of us.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting how there's a lot of focus on pre-K and a lot of focus on college. But when it comes to K through 12, a lot of our civic leaders have just given up. And it's not right. And I've lived here, you know, my whole life. Generations of kids coming through St. Louis public schools are failing. They're being failed by us. But it's not just here. I mean, we have schools all over Missouri that are failing. I mean, you can go from the Boot Heel all the way up to, you know, Northwest Missouri. You're going to find kids who are graduating from high school and can't read.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes that happens in big districts. So here's the other concern I have. So my son, and I have two older kids, as you know, and one of them is a teacher on the south mm-hmm. side of Chicago, in all pretty much all African-American school. And I don't know where his future is going to take him. It's tough. It's a tough gig. There's no doubt about it. This is his second year. He was at Hickman in Columbia. But Gene, for the love of God, with the climate that we're in right now, first of all, two things. The choice that we have for some teachers, I want to be careful here, we have great teachers, right?
Right.
But we've seen this kind of rear its ugly head in the aftermath of this assassination. A lot of these people in education, they are indoctrinators. And then you could ask a legitimate question about who the hell wants to go into education because of all these problems. So that even creates more issues.
Yeah, that is a problem. I have a lot of friends who are teachers. Their teacher burnout is real. And a lot of the best teachers are moving on.
Yes.
And then we're left with that. One of the biggest advocates in Missouri is a retired public school teacher from Southwest Missouri. She's a huge advocate for school choice. Her son went to a public school. Her daughter needed to go to a private school that was a better fit for her. And we've seen surveys that show that more than two-thirds of teachers support school choice. Their unions are failing them.
Right, right.
It's not the teachers. It's the unions that are failing their own members. And the national, the NEA, and the AFT that take all of these dues from their members are failing their own members because they're not focused on helping their teachers to succeed or on their safety. They're focused on giving to political
yeah,
entities,
right.
which are mostly on the left, but it shouldn't matter. They should be focused on their own members and not on these political issues.
Jean Evans is here. She was on the roundtable earlier talking a little bit about education. Maybe you and I have talked about this before. Maybe you've heard me give some attention to my friend Tiffany Anderson. Tiffany used to be the superintendent in Jennings, and she did a remarkable job with leadership, with very
right.
little money, turning that district around. And she did such a great job that she was offered a position, a similar position in Topeka, Kansas,
right.
where she is right now. She wrote a book that came out, I think, last year, the year before. We keep in touch because I started to do a documentary on her and then she left and the whole project kind of fell apart. But I bring her up because she was someone, and I was out there with her. I stood on the corner in Jennings in you know, North County, waiting for kids to show up at school. Some of them were carrying blankets and pillows. They had slept on a dirt floor overnight. She wanted to be out there in the crosswalks to make sure that she was aware of everything that was going on. And she was proof positive to me that dumping a bunch of money and chasing, you know, it's not going to matter, right? You have to have good leadership.
Right.
So that's a concern of mine as well, because she was someone who really impressed me. There have to be, Gene, I hope and pray, there have to be other people in administrations, you know, in high schools, in elementary schools, junior highs. But she was a doer. She wasn't a sitting reading, let's not, you know, let's talk about blue ribbon panels, blah, blah, blah. Let's get crap done.
Well, when you have competition like you have in school choice, you get more leaders, because right now they're in a like a nepotism type of system, or a socialist type of system, where you get a pay raise regardless if you're a good teacher or not.
Right.
But where we have school choice, schools are competing for teachers, but it also provides opportunities for them to go where the best leadership is. And that is an incentive to do more leadership training, to find better leaders. And you'll find even in these districts that teachers will want to go to a school where there's a good principal because they want that leadership. As a former coach, I can tell you leadership makes a huge difference when you're dealing with parents and students. So if you have a more competitive system, you're going to get better leadership because you're going to have people competing for those jobs instead of feeling like they're stuck and there's nowhere for them to go.
Okay, shout out to Dr. Christine Starnes, my principal at Stanton Elementary, where my daughter goes, because she's awesome and we love her, and my daughter's getting a great education. Well, Gene, thank you so much. Thanks for being on the roundtable earlier and hanging out a little bit. You have a great weekend.
You too.
I don't know how many times I've sat here on a Friday and I've thought to myself, wow, I cannot believe that that just all happened. And it happens quite a bit, Sue, because of the crazy world that we live in. And this certainly was another one with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He was on the Salem Radio Network with Hugh Hewitt and my friend Scott Jennings. You hear Scott's show every night here on 97.1 FM Talk. And he founded Turning Point USA. And Ethan found this, and we thought this would be a nice audio cut of the day this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So this runs a little longer than usual, but it's a nice tribute.
We're active in about 15 campuses, and we're growing very, very quickly. And keep in mind, this is not just a flash in the pan movement. We're going to become an institution to give them the power and the confidence to stand up and let their voice be heard.
I started this organization when I was 18 years old. I decided not to go to college. I didn't get my dream school, which was the United States Military Academy at West Point. I have this idea to galvanize and motivate the future youth of this country around a core set of ideas, not just political parties or politicians. And the ideas are really America's the greatest country in the history of the world. Constitution's the greatest political document ever written, and free enterprise is the most assured way to lift people out of poverty and create prosperity for all. Those are the three big ideas. And I think that's something that can win.
We as Christians are called to go into the public arena to correct error with truth. So I go to college campuses and there's a lot of error. We're all sinners. We all live in error. I'm far more interested in what God wants of me than what I want from God.
I have to say this without getting emotional, but I'm very proud of my husband. And I know many of you are too. You have worked so hard, and I know a lot of you have seen, obviously, his videos on TikTok and all the stuff he does on campus, but no one gets to see him from my angle except for myself and our children. And the sacrifices that he made this year, he's amazing. I'm very blessed.
And I would not have been able to do any of it without Erica. And that's the real truth. I'll tell you what. You are here as a grassroots response to the top-down revolution happening in this country. I want our Turning Point USA students to receive a round of applause. These are the freedom fighters of America.
And the media said that Turning Point could never run a ground game. They weren't experienced. They didn't know Charlie, right?
This is the greatest generational realignment since Woodstock. This generation is the most conservative generation that we have seen in well over 50 years, and the numbers show it. What young people especially are screaming at is they say, give me a structure that I can live my life by. And especially with young men, more challenging of them, more saying, you know what? Honestly, I'm not going to talk down to you. Stop being a boy and become a man. You want to learn what that means? Come to church and I'll tell you what it means to become a man. Because we have the greatest story ever told. What can I do to save the country? You answer that question every single day because you are doing the work to save this beautiful republic. You are doing something that is bigger than you.
If everything completely goes away, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage, for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
You know, that lasted 3.5 minutes, and it didn't seem like it was 3.5 minutes.
Seem
did
like,
it?
No.
They did a fantastic job with that. So, look, it's a sad week. There's a lot of, I don't know where we're even going to be on Monday, because, you know, one of the narratives, and I just heard from a friend of mine, it appears the LA Times writing this guy is MAGA. So there's this notion out there on the left that, and by the way, there's an account that has 5 million followers online that posted a fake photo of this kid. And I have not used his name one time this afternoon. No. I will not. Wearing a Trump shirt and, you know, putting like a look like it was a fake. It was fake AI. Right.
Yeah.
But they make an apology. But then the photo is still up there. So there are people out there making the case that because his family was all MAGA, I mean, apparently they were Republicans, that he was too, and that this is someone who came from the radical right. That's the narrative that they're going with right now. And people are believing it because it's in the legacy media. So let's see where this story takes us on Monday, because it could be a very, very different place, that's for sure. Sue, have a great weekend.
You too, Mark.
I don't often get to go out with music, so I decided the last break on a Friday is when I go out with music.
Okay.
So there we go. We'll talk on Monday at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.